I'm going to record if that's all right.
Okay.
It's easier than writing stuff down.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Okay. So, your name is Mike. And what's
Mike
your last
Watts.
Name? Mike Watts.
Yeah, and so I'm a resource specialist, specializing in recreation. But
okay.
Then I also help out in some of the other areas like timber and occasionally range and wildlife and
okay.
fire.
Okay, excellent. So what does the forest do? What is its purpose kind of in this area?
It's to provide a number of different things. We provide grazing for some of the local ranchers mm-hmm. through a permit system.
Okay.
And then we also provide timber resources, although that's pretty limited around here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to do with markets. And then with the fires, a lot
mm-hmm.
of our timber is burned up. But we still manage the timber. We're trying to manage the green timber that we do have so that if we get fires that it doesn't all burn up.
Absolutely.
Because we have lost probably over half the timbered acres in the last 20 years or so on this district.
Yeah, so that's a pretty significant loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. also manage the wildlife too.
Okay.
And then of course we manage recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Provide recreation for people.
Okay. So if people are interested in getting outdoors, particularly right now, what are some areas that you would encourage them to check out?
Probably the closest areas to town would be best.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, you know, just south of town, like around the cliffs or around Spotted Tail, we
mm-hmm.
have trailheads out there that people can go hiking on, or if they like motorized use like motorcycles and ATVs, we have those types of trails, and they can get the maps from us
mm-hmm.
or they can get onto our web page.
Okay.
And there's also an app that's called Avenza.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're familiar.
I have
it. Okay. Yeah, and that works really great. That's a real good one.
Okay.
And that one's real useful because it's got
mm-hmm.
like the forest visitor map, and then it'll show
right.
where you're at with
oh,
all
nice.
The trails and that sort of thing.
With the building closed, can they still obtain physical maps from you guys, or is
yeah.
that kind of on hold at the moment?
Yeah, we can still do that.
Okay.
We can make arrangements for that.
Okay. So what like wildlife might people encounter while they're going out on the trails in this area?
Your typical wildlife probably be, you know, deer and turkey, and if you're lucky, you may see elk or some of the other animals. And I guess, you know, a lot of people that I've talked to over the years are concerned about mountain lions, and,
mm-hmm.
and they are out there. And I guess you just have to kind of be careful where you're going and when you're going. Like, I wouldn't go down the middle of some of these deep canyons in the
mm-hmm.
middle of the night.
Right.
That they might be using, so just have to plan ahead a little bit when you go out there, but
gotcha.
Chances of seeing or encountering one are really pretty rare.
Okay, so it's just common sense.
Yeah, and the best thing to do too is if you do encounter some kind of wildlife, is you want to make sure you give them a way to escape, that
right.
you don't corner them or get between them and their young or get too close to them, because sometimes you don't know how they're going to react. Like if it's mating season and a bull elk doesn't like you being too close, or things like that.
Absolutely. So what issues have you seen with people engaging with nature? Are people cleaning up after themselves? Is that something that we as a community can improve on?
Yeah, I think some of it is just taking home what you bring out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
like pack it in, pack it out, your
right.
trash.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of the campgrounds where they're a little more developed, people are pretty good about
mm-hmm.
putting their trash in the containers and that sort of thing. It's more in the dispersed areas when people are out driving around
mm-hmm.
or if they're out target shooting. Those are the places where we really have a problem with litter and then sometimes vandalism and that sort of thing.
Okay.
And, you know, if you are out there in a motorized vehicle, we do have travel management rules. And so you need to stay on the established roadways. And so that would be something where if someone wasn't sure where they could travel in their motor vehicle, whether it's a a Jeep or truck or motorcycle or ATV to get one of our travel maps, and then it shows you all the motorized routes and what's allowed on them.
Okay. So it's being aware of what the rules are and following them. That's something that
and
would help.
That's probably the best way to sum that up, is just kind of planning ahead and preparing, you know, find out what the regulations are, and then take with you what you might need for an emergency, or if the weather's going to change on you, you know, especially in the spring or fall when the weather can go from nice to bad and half an hour, so you want to plan ahead for that.
I've been in some of those situations
yeah.
before.
And you know, even take emergency stuff too, like maybe a little first aid kit or something to start a fire with in case you get stuck out there and need to build a warming fire or something, you know, if you're out hiking or whatever.
Are there any basics that you'd say, like, build a fire, anything else that you'd say, just make sure you have it with you if you're out kind of exploring, just in case?
Some kind of rain gear, you know, it doesn't have to be real fancy.
Like frog togs or something?
Yeah, actually, I listened to a guy who, he would teach survival techniques to the Air Force, and so he would tell you what you could put in your little survival kit, and of course he was trying to keep it lightweight. And one thing that he highly recommended was one of those heavy-duty garbage bags.
Okay.
And he recommended like a blue or orange one, which would be real visible. But you could make, you could just cut a hole in the top of it and then use that to keep the rain off of you and kind of keep you a little bit warm.
Okay.
So, you know, a cheap rain poncho. And then, you know, some kind of little fire starter he recommended too, that you have, keep it in something that, like a little plastic container that's dry. And then he would even recommend like windproof, waterproof matches. He said lighters aren't very good because your fingers get cold and then you can't get them to spark or light. So little things like that. It depends on when you're going out, but it's good to have some little basic survival kit, you know, maybe an energy bar, and make sure you always take enough water with you.
So can you fill me in on the leave no trace principle? It's something I hear about a lot with hiking.
Okay. Yeah, leave no trace, that's an organization that started back in the 90s, and they work with a lot of the federal agencies on providing information to the public. And over the years, they've really expanded it where they get real specific on leave no trace for horseback, riding, biking, mountain climbing. But there's like seven basic principles. That, see there, plan ahead, prepare, and then traveling and camping on durable surfaces, disposing of your waste properly, leave what you find, respect wildlife, minimize your fire impacts, your campfire impacts, and then be considerate of others. And so underneath each one of those seven topics, it gets a little more specific. Like, say, for example, the campfire, you know, only build one if you really need to. Make sure it's contained and don't build a bonfire. And then when you're done, try and minimize the impact of the visible impact and make sure that it's out. So that means like scattering your fire ring and the ashes around, but make sure when you're scattering the ashes that they really are out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another one that I see pretty often, especially during hunting seasons when a lot of people are here, is not disposing of human waste properly. They should be digging a hole.
It's like, is it 6 inches?
6 to 8 inches, and then make sure that you're at least 200 feet away from water. And ideally, you know, pack the toilet paper out with you, but if you can, at least bury that too. Because there are some areas, you know, that get real heavy visitation where you're required to pack all that out with you. With the, and sometimes they'll provide, there's bags that are specifically made for that, that you go to the bathroom in, and then you pack it out with you.
Okay. So it's just being, it seems to keep coming back to just being aware of the rules and regulations surrounding everything.
Yep. And think about what you're doing. If it doesn't seem right, then it probably isn't.
good practice.
Yeah, so
there.
Try and do the right thing.
Have you seen any like impact on the wildlife around here from humans, like negative impact or?
I really haven't seen too much of that.
Okay.
And I don't know if our wildlife biologist would know anything about that or not.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to check and make sure my phone's still recording.
Okay.
And let's see. So what are some other ways that community members can kind of give back to the Forest Service or be involved with kind of maintaining wildlife areas, that sort of thing?
I guess I know, I've seen some people out there when they're out hiking and, you know, we have people that volunteer to do stuff for us, but this year's a little bit different because with the volunteers, it's hard to get together in groups, but a lot of people individually, when they're out recreating, you know, if they see some trash in the area that they're at, they'll go ahead and pick it up, you know, like out of spotted tail.
Okay.
So that's something that's real simple, is just, you know, helping to pick up and...
So maybe, like, take a trash bag out with you and collect any litter you might see while you're hiking if you want to get
And that back. Would help us out a lot.
Okay, fantastic. So let's see, what other resources does the Forest Service recommend for information?
Oh, other than, well, let's see, our websites, and then I guess Leave No Trace, that...
Is a good website?
Yeah, there's a website, LLNT.org, I believe it is. And so they've got all kinds of hints that you can find out about, you know, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah, fantastic. Is there anything that you'd want the community to know that we might not be aware of, just generally?
Generally? That if they've got a question, feel free to ask us, you know, even if... You know, it doesn't have to, you know, there's no bad questions or stupid questions because you don't know until you ask. But but a lot of basic things like, you know, where do I go for a nice beginner hike or whatever? And then I could help them out with some trails that are easier.
Yeah.
And then there's some trails that maybe certain times of the year you don't want to go on to because it may be... partially through a creek bottom, like over around the cliffs, and there'd be a lot of ticks.
Right.
And so if you do go then and ticks bother you, then make sure you spray your clothes or something.
I know I am avoiding Soldier Creek right about now for the ticks.
We were out at Soldier Creek yesterday. I was helping out the archaeologists, and we were documenting an archaeological site back there. And it's kind of along a creek bottom, but the vegetation was low there and only got one tick.
Yeah.
That's still the exception because I know there's other areas in Soldier Creek where they're probably still pretty bad. Especially that South Fork when you first leave the campground and go into there.
That was one of my favorites. And I remember one time I just came back like covered in ticks. And like, maybe not this time of year.
Yeah, I've done that. In fact, I was over there last week because there's some... invasive plants, some thistle that I've been trying to control, and I took the roundabout way to get to them just so I could avoid where I knew I was going to get a lot of ticks.
So I'm specifically the education coordinator and I work with youth in the area. Do you have any trails that you would specifically recommend for kids?
We've got some good trails up there actually around Chadron State Park. And you know, we've share some trails with them, or some of our trails connect with them. And, you know, there's that Black Hills Overlook Trail. And that's a pretty nice one. And then they can see a little bit of fire history, what a fire does up there, and how long it can take for an area to recover after a fire. And just looking at some of the landscape, too, since you're up kind of high, you can see the buttes. And
It's got that good, impressive view.
And so that's a good area. And then another one would be around the cliffs going up Bordeaux. And you can make some nice loop hikes up there with some of the trails.
Okay.
And for that one, though, you'd probably want to wait until at least August when the ticks go away. But anytime there's water, kids like to hang out around the water and see what's in the creek and that sort of thing. So that would be a good one.
Okay. And I think this is my last question. Are there any particular concerns right now with all of the fire watches I'm seeing?
Yeah, we really want people to be careful with fire. We, you know, we've got some fire restrictions where people can only have fires in the fire rings at the campgrounds.
Yeah.
And so even then, sometimes we'll find people that don't put the fires out. Mm-hmm. But we try and check that pretty close. Red clouds sometimes can be a problem, and the cliffs sometimes, even when there's water there, sometimes you'll still find a campfire that's been left. So,
gotcha.
So fire restrictions right now, or being careful with fire, is one thing we'd really emphasize. And even driving off into tall grass and parking.
Right.
You wouldn't want to do.
Because, yeah, even just leaving your engine, like, idling over something flammable can start a fire pretty easily, right?
Yeah, someone found that out the hard way about, I think it was 10 years ago in Pasture 19. I don't know if you know where that's at.
I don't know where that's at.
It's up on the table where the antennas are at, those towers.
Yeah.
And someone had pulled off about this time of the year, and it was real hot.
Mm-hmm.
And dry, and they parked their truck and left it running in the grass. I guess they wanted to leave the air conditioning going while it's cool, and they walked off to go for a short little hike to look at something, and their vehicle ended up catching on fire. So learned the hard way on that one.
I had I was 17. I parked on the side of the road to, like, check a map or something. I'd just gotten into the area, and a very nice man, like, was like, hey, maybe don't do that. So that's how I found out about that one.
Because that is one that a lot of people may not think about.
Right.
Is, you know, watch out for the tall vegetation when you're driving through it, or especially don't park in it.
Yeah. So what drew you to this job? Just, I know I said that was the last question, but I'm curious.
When I was younger, spent a fair amount of time outside and then decided that I wanted a job outside. Initially it was going to be wildlife, but then when I got to Colorado, I was going to go to Colorado State and found out there were hundreds of other people that wanted to go into wildlife at that time. So I chose forestry instead because I figured I'll still be able to get outside, and that sounds interesting. And so that's how I started out with the Forest Service, was doing forestry work, and then kind of made my way over into recreation.
Okay, awesome. What drew you to this particular area?
I started out in Wyoming, and then one of the people that was a supervisor of mine, he got transferred here. And after he'd been here about a year or so, he wanted to hire a seasonal to help him out in the timber program, because they were trying to start up a timber program. So he invited myself and a couple other guys that had worked for him to come visit him one weekend in the summer. And so we came here. We had to see if Nebraska actually had a forest. And so he came here and he showed us around. And so then when he advertised the job, I decided to apply for it. And that's how I ended up here.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I think it's beautiful in this area. So
it was an adjustment, though. But after a while, I really got to appreciate it here.
Yeah, it's definitely a big sky place.
Yeah, it is. I was used to being in a forested area and where the temperatures were 10 to 20 degrees cooler. But after a while, I got adjusted to it.
I gotcha.
And, you know, the lack of crowds here was
was
nice, too. It made work a lot easier.
Yeah. It's a draw for me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I will go and recreate some places that are really busy, but I'm kind of glad I don't work in a place like that, because then you have so many more issues with people and trying to protect the resources.
Yeah, I feel like we're kind of lucky to be in our area.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
But it's slowly being discovered, you know, when I think about what it was like 20 years ago or so. And
What was it like 20 years ago? I can't resist asking.
Well, you could go out to Toadstool. Well, even like 10 or 15 years ago,
yeah,
go out to Toadstool, and hardly anyone would ever camp there. And especially in the summer, the only people that we ever really had camping there were our campground hosts that would kind of watch over the area. And now, sometimes you'll have 4 or 5 or sometimes all 6 of the sites filled up during the summer even. And so you really notice a big difference there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Soldier Creek, there's been a lot more horse camping that's been going on there.
Yeah. No, I've seen a change even in the past 2 years with how popular Soldier is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, this year, you know, when we were closed down for a while, people were calling up and wondering, when are you going to open it up? Because a lot of people come back year after year, and they've been doing it for 20 years or so. And some of them know this seasonal that we had working here when I first started.
Right.
And so that, I guess they take some ownership in the area, too, so they want to take care of it also.
That's awesome that they're so involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people that help out in some of the campgrounds that we probably don't see unless you start talking to them. And they said, oh, yeah, someone left a mess, and I went ahead and cleaned it up and stuff like that.
Nice. Okay, well, that's all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for meeting with me.
Pretty easy. So.
Yeah. I try to make it not
scary. It's hard to get some people trained, but there's some people that seem to be untrainable. Because what we did was we would have 3 garbage cans, one for trash and one labeled aluminum and one labeled plastic containers. Mm-hmm. And people still throw stuff in the wrong thing. But,
yeah, of course.
And so we've been doing the plastic for about the last 3 or 4 years, but then I noticed that you're not able to recycle plastic.
We can't do recycling right now because of COVID.
Yeah.
It looks like we might be able to start doing that again soon. And honestly, if you reach out to us, I'm pretty sure that the director of Keep Chattering Beautiful would love to partner with you guys. Like, we're actively looking for like people and groups we can partner with in the community to kind of encourage recycling. So if you guys are doing that.
Yeah, because we do it here at the office. And then I decided, you know, there's all this plastic waste at the campgrounds.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing a lot of that. And the aluminum cans, we cash all those in. That goes into our employee fund.
Absolutely.
I don't know how long we've been doing that, 25 years or so.
Okay. Yeah.
But
yeah, no. Just let us know if you want us to, like, help in some way or give information on recycling.
Yeah,
anything
I guess
we
if
can
you,
do.
Yeah, I guess if you do decide to are able to start recycling the plastic again, if you could let me know, and then we could probably put some of those cans back out there.
Yeah, recycling is technically through SWAN, and we partner with them because we're not a big enough organization here specifically in Chadron to really manage that, but we're working on kind of growing our recycling a little bit. But I'll reach out to you guys if once we're able to get everything back up and running.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Awesome. Fantastic.
All right, so we'll go talk